Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 3. In verse 23, the Word of God says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Yes, this is a message to build you guys up, kids. All have sinned. Every person in the world has sinned. Sometimes it can happen to people that they are surprised by the fact that they make mistakes, that they sin, that they choose poorly at times, and they say to themselves, "Why did I do that?" And they may even think there's something wrong with them. And they say, "Why do I do that?" Or, "Why am I like this?" And the answer is, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans 7:18, the Bible tells us, "I know that nothing good dwells within me." Sometimes you'll hear people say things, and they're kind of understandable in a way. They are trying to take a positive look at things, but it's really pretty inaccurate. They'll say things like, "People are good." But that's not true. People are not good. And that seems harsh, but it's not. It's actually our provision. If we were good, we'd be in a lot more trouble than we could potentially be in. But it says, "I know that nothing good dwells in me." And this is the Apostle Paul. This is not some slouch. This is the Apostle Paul. "I know nothing good dwells in me." That is, in my flesh. "I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and the urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out." Now, then he continues in verse 20, "Now, if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it. It's not myself that acts, but the sin which dwells within me." What Paul is telling us is that we have this thing in us called sin. It causes us a lot of trouble, but we have this thing in us called sin. It's a part of our physical body. It's in our DNA. We can't get rid of it. We don't have to live under its influence, but we can't get rid of it. And really, people deal with it their entire life, this sin that is in us. When Satan tempts people, he tempts the sin that is in them. We call that a sin nature. Human nature is a sin nature. People will want you to think sometimes that human nature is basically good, but it's really not. Human nature is basically wicked. When Adam and Eve had their first two children, the one son killed the other son. That's the first thing that happened. It was wicked. This was the result of human nature. This is true today. Why do people so quickly quarrel? Why do they fight so much? Why do they say, "Well, I want this," and it causes conflict? It's human nature. It's wicked. Now, there was a source to this. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, when they were created, had no sin nature. They were perfect like God is perfect. They were actually like the angels in that respect. But then Satan came and he started talking to Eve and he tricked her. Now God told them when he created Adam not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was a good protective bit of advice. Because what Adam didn't know was that the tree of knowledge of good and evil in Ezekiel 31:18 was Satan's tree. Satan was the enemy of God, and he is the enemy of humanity, of people. So God told him, "Don't eat from your enemy's tree. If you eat from your enemy's tree, it's going to kill you." So he gave this great warning, but Eve got intimidated. She got self-conscious about this, and the devil is the one who brought that in. And he said to her in verse 1, does it really make any sense that God would say you can eat of any tree, but you cannot eat from the most beautiful tree, the best tree? And indeed, it was beautiful. Sometimes sin can seem really good. Like it's really appealing. Like, if I do this, I'm going to really enjoy it. The problem with that is, although at the first few moments it may seem pleasant, it'll kill you. Drugs are like that, for example. People think, if I take drugs, I'll feel good. No, if you take drugs, they will kill you. You don't want to do stuff like that, or alcohol, or cigarettes, and these kind of things. Cigarettes, I think, are a good example. If you smoke, you'll be cool. I remember when I was a kid in 7th and 8th grade, there was a house with a fence across the school from us, and all the cool kids would be sitting on that fence smoking cigarettes. Well, cigarettes, as the Surgeon General one time pointed out, if they're used correctly, they will kill you. And so people give themselves things like cancer, and they destroy their heart, and they destroy all the organs in their body, and they destroy their lungs. They destroy their ability to breathe, because after all, they want to be cool. And it's not so cool when you can't breathe. It's not so cool when your heart doesn't beat correctly. It's not so cool when the organs in your body, like your kidneys, start to fail and you can't even use the bathroom correctly. That's not so cool. But Satan tells you, oh, this will be cool. Well, he did that to Eve. He said to her, if you eat from this tree, then you will be able to see the difference between good and evil. You will know the difference. You will be as the angels. In the translations in English, it says as gods, but it's not really gods, it's angels. The same word that's used for God is also used for angels, and sometimes it becomes misinterpreted. So it's not that you will be as God, like the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. It's you will be as the angels, because Eve knew the angels, and she admired them. Well, that wasn't true. She didn't become as the angels. But she was suckered by it. She was tricked, because she admired the angels. And then it says, God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, in verse 5 of Genesis 3. And you will be like gods, like angels, knowing good and evil. The problem wasn't that she would know good from evil. The problem was in the word know. She would decide what is good and she would decide what is evil simply by looking at it or hearing about it. Well, God says there's no way to tell what is good or evil by looking or hearing. You have to have the mind of Christ. So what Satan said to her essentially, but not in so many words, he didn't want her to realize this, was that you will start to judge what is good and what is evil on the basis of the way they look or the way they sound. And God says, don't do that. You have no way of telling what is good or evil on the basis of appearance or sound. But that's where they went with it. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. And then she gave some to her husband, and he also ate. And then it says the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. The problem that took place was not that they were naked. God made them naked. There was nothing wrong with them in the Garden of Eden being naked. That's the way God made them. This is before people started wearing clothes. And so this was perfectly normal for them to be naked. There was no sin, there was no problem, but they became self-conscious and self-oriented. They were self-centered. And when they became self-centered, they started to see things like differences amongst each other. This happens today too. Sometimes people will look at somebody and maybe they'll have a different color, or maybe they'll have a different way of doing things, or a different culture, and they'll say, well, you're different than me, so there's something wrong with you. Well, that's not true. Things like color or culture, those don't make anybody good or bad. We're all human beings. I mean, God made people, and He made some variety in people in the way they talk, or in the way that they look, or in their haircut. Can you imagine if everybody on earth was a blonde? What fun would that be? And so, we're in this world, we have these bodies that have the ability for differences, but when Adam and Eve became self-centered, the differences in their own thinking, not in God's thinking, became important. And they try to cover those differences thinking there was something wrong. You see, this was self-centeredness. What happened to them when they ate from that tree? They developed a sin nature. Their DNA changed. That was the part where God said, you're going to die. Before, you could not die. Now they could die. Dying is an effect of what happens with the DNA. Before, the DNA was such that they could not die, and now it was such that they could die. Their DNA changed. And part of the change was also that their ability and tendency to sin entered into that DNA. All sin ultimately comes from being self-centered, self-oriented. The Bible says in Romans 14:23 that if it's not of faith, it's sin. Why? Because if it's not God-conscious, it's self-conscious. If it's not God-centered, it's self-centered, and self-centered is sin. So they develop this sin nature. Every human being now has a sin nature because every human being got their DNA ultimately from Adam and Eve. And so every human being has a sin nature. So how do we deal with this? Well, human nature is tough to deal with, but God always provides solutions. It says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. So why do I counter this? I start to believe. That's how. I take faith, which everybody has some faith. We're born with that. I take the faith that I have and I put it in Christ. I say to myself, I'm going to trust Christ. Number one, I'm going to trust Him to save me. Number two, I'm going to trust Him to guide me, to teach me. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to come to Him, and I'm going to trust Him with the different details in my life. If I have to make a decision, I'm going to ask Him, because He has much more wisdom than I do. And I'm going to trust what He tells me for the details of my life. I'm going to believe His word. And I'm going to trust His word to give me guidance in my life. Secondly, Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you are saved, through faith. You're saved by the grace of God. One of the most basic meanings of grace, and it's a pretty good one, is that grace is when God gives you what you don't deserve. God is constantly giving us things we don't deserve. And then it says, you're not saved by things of yourself. You didn't produce your salvation. You were not good enough. It says, it is a gift of God, not by works. It's not by what you did, it's not by what you knew or where you went, it's not by were you this religion or that religion, it's by Christ. It's by The grace of God, that God sent His Son to die for you, and when you believe what He did for you, that is enough to get you saved. That is the most important step in dealing with the effects of the sin nature. And when you were saved, when you started to believe that Jesus saved you, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Holy Spirit entered into your body and He now lives inside of you. You can't lose that. You couldn't earn it. You could only receive it. You can't give it away because the Holy Spirit, well, you're His house. You can't lose that. So that's the most important part of dealing with the sin nature. Then, because we have a sin nature, even if we are saved, sometimes we sin. It's not good, but it happens. When you sin, in 1 John 1:9, confess your sin to God. He does not want you confessing your sin to other people. There are sometimes people who say, well, you've got to confess your sin to somebody else. God says not to do that. Why? Because then I'll trip up the other person. God in 2 Corinthians 5:16 does not want people knowing my sin. God says that love covers a multitude of sins. God does not want other people knowing somebody's sin. Because we don't sin against those people, even if we hurt them. We didn't sin against them. We sinned against God. And that's what David said when he said, I sinned against God. But David sinned in such a way that he killed somebody. What do you mean you sinned against God? That was the truth. David sinned against God. And so David said, I sinned against God. And the prophet said to him, God has forgiven you. If we make a mistake whereby we sin, then we simply go to God and say, God, that was sin. And that's the end of it. That is absolutely the end of it. You don't have to do anything else. You simply say, God, I have sinned. Now, you don't want to continue sinning. You forsake the sin. You leave it behind you. You forget about it. But that's where you go with it. God, I sinned. And this was the sin. And then it said that He's faithful and just to forgive you that sin. So the moment you tell God about it, God completely even forgets that it happened. By the way, forgiveness does include forgetting. In the original language that the Bible was written with, the word for forgiveness had the meaning of forgetting in it. So you don't just forgive it, you forget it. When we forgive one another, we don't just forgive it, we forget it as though it never happened. That's how we deal with our sin. And then it says when we do that, God forgives our sins and He cleanses us from unrighteousness. How does He cleanse us? With the blood of Christ. In Revelation 1:5, the blood of Christ washes away all sins, and in Psalm 103:12, it takes those sins from time. That means that God takes time, and remember, time is like a table with a bunch of stuff on it, and the stuff is the details of everybody's life. And the parts that were sin, the blood of Christ removes those parts. It's like a super soap where it cleans time from sin. And so it removes our sin. And all you need to do is tell God, God, that was sin. Never deny before God that you sinned. I'm not saying tell other people about it. Do not do that. But don't deny before God if there is sin. Why? Because that's how you get it forgiven. You tell God, I sinned, and God immediately forgives it and cleans you from it and takes it away. There's one more part to this, with dealing with your sin nature. Look for mercy in Jude 21. Mercy is when God does not give you the things you deserve. You might deserve a lot of punishment, for example. And God says, you know what? I forgive you. You know what? I'll be kind to you. I won't punish you. You came to me with your mistakes. You came to me with your sins. Look for mercy. I will not punish you because you came to me. And when you come to me, I forgive you. By looking for mercy, you're bringing in the love of God. And that is our ultimate provision against our sin nature, is the love of God. In Jeremiah 31:3, God says that His love draws us to Him. That's exactly our best provision. If I sin because I have a sin nature, how do I deal with it? I look for mercy from God. I look for God's patience. I look for God's kindness. I look for God's compassion. I look for God's understanding. He has all of them in abundance. I look for mercy, and it takes me to the love of God. And when I come to the love of God, I'm drawn to Him. When I do that, I don't become more likely to sin, I become much less likely to sin. Because when you know the love of God, other things don't appeal to you. It's much harder to tempt somebody who knows the love of God than it is to tempt somebody who does not know the love of God. Tempting someone who doesn't know the love of God is a piece of cake. It's so easy. But tempting someone who does know the love of God, it's almost impossible. Every human being has this sin nature. Every human being has this sin nature. That is human nature. The beautiful thing about it is God overcomes that sin nature. And He gives us a way to deal with it so that it doesn't have to affect us. We don't have to be bogged down by it. We don't have to live in any kind of guilt. We don't have to live in any kind of shame. We just come to the love of God by looking for His mercy, and then He draws us to Him. And then you're not so affected by your sin nature. You still have one, but the effects are minimal. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today. All right. Let's take a break. And we'll start, let's say, at, let's shoot for 11. That's 6 minutes from now. How you doing, Brianna? Nice to see you. Okay. So we'll take a break for and start, shoot for 11. So get your coffee and whatever else you need. Thank you.